Hello, friends. I do once again hope you recognize that theme song, because if you do, you know it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad to be with you once again in this holiday season that we are entering into, that things are going to get so very busy. We're so glad that you take time to focus on that is of eternal significance today. Amen. As we open the Bible and we understand the great love wherewith God has loved us and the great plan of salvation, and in particular, the great person of salvation, His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, today. Amen. So we are glad that you're with us today. If you're listening by computer, we thank you for being with us. If you've downloaded this teaching from our website, we're so glad that you came. Hope you come back again. And we just appreciate all of our listeners. We're so glad to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF. And we are so happy that you have become part of the listening family right here on WMAF. And if you want to get to know us better, if you want a statement faith on our website, if you'd like to read that, if you'd like inspirational music and informative sermons and teachings and editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, just type in THCOG. That will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where we're getting ready in January to celebrate 41 years of ministry in this city and in this particular church where I've been the senior pastor. So now I'm wearing two hats because of media and outreach ministry. I'm a pastor evangelist, and today I'm going to do the work of an evangelist with a pastor's heart as well. So we just pray you will be doubly blessed today as we get into the Word of God. We're teaching on the subject, how to find true happiness in an unhappy world. How to find true happiness in an unhappy world. And we're reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Just listen to these words from the Word of God today. For he that will love life, see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. One translation said, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. Happiness, friend, is linked to God's blessings, and God's blessings is linked to a right relationship with God. Peace with God. That's why we're moving from that scripture and that promise of fulfillment and happiness coming through a reconciled relationship with God. Hallelujah. Friend, I want you to know forgiveness is one of the great gifts of salvation. It's what allows us to have a reconciled relationship with the Lord. And Psalm 32 is called a penitential psalm because David, who was convicted in his heart of his sin, couldn't find any joy in life. King David, with all of the benefits and blessings of being a mighty king in Israel, he couldn't find happiness with all the things that he could acquire and possess in terms of fortune and fame. The only thing that brought him fulfillment is when he was forgiven his sin and reconciled to God. So I want you to listen carefully for this great key to true happiness in an unhappy world. Billy Graham said something, quoted someone else, and I want to quote it today. There is a God-shaped vacuum within the heart of every person. It is so vast, it is so big, only God can fill that great void with Himself. And the wonderful thing about forgiveness is God comes to indwell the believer. He doesn't just forgive our sins and leave us empty. He comes to indwell us. Christ comes to indwell us. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. Praise God. So we have that great sense of being reconciled unto God and forgiven, and we have that great sense of being filled with God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So let's read from Psalm 32. Real quick today and move down through this psalm that David wrote after he had found forgiveness in the Lord and therefore fulfillment in his life. Amen. It's not just about where we spend eternity. It's about the here and now as well. Praise God. Listen to this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. I want to stop, go back to that word blessed in verse 1 of Psalm 32. The word blessed in the Hebrew means happy to be envied. Happy to be envied. If you are happy in the midst of all the negative happenings in a faulty body and a fallen world, someone, and this is in the positive sense, someone is going to want to know how can you be happy? Hallelujah. Praise God. How in the world, literally in this world, this fallen world, can you be happy? Happiness in the life of a Christian, in the life of a believer because of a reconciled relationship with God and the promise of His help all the way through this journey, no matter what happens, is a great witness and testimony to a world that cannot buy peace anywhere, no matter how much money or persuasive power a person has because of their position or their fame. You can buy, as one hitman for the mob said, who came to Christ and was reconciled unto God. He said, there was a time in my life in Miami, Florida, I could buy a suite of rooms in a hotel, a $10,000 suite, but I couldn't buy 1 minute's peaceful sleep. Isn't that incredible statement to make? Friend of mine, I want you to know today, God has given His Son to deliver us from that wrath to come and from an eternity banished from Him and separated from Him and punished. But He's given His Son also that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm not just talking about things when we mention the word abundant, because Jesus went on to say that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. Isn't life more than drink? Isn't it more than raiment? Yes, it is. Without peace, a great mansion is meaningless. Without peace and fulfillment, nothing in the material world can take the place of what God offers us in Jesus Christ today. So David says, happy to be envied is he whose transgression is forgiven. It all begins with getting right with God and knowing in your heart that you are right with God and that your sins are forgiven and now you're in a relationship with Him. Listen, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity and in whose spirit there's no guile. When I kept my silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I want to stop here in verse 3. You know, the Scripture says in the Old Testament, the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up dirt and mire. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. Behind all of this outward facade, this expression of outward happiness. Inside, there's a turmoil that is going on, and that great storm within will never be calmed, and that peace will never come until we are reconciled with God. And that's why He sent His Son. That's why Jesus came. That's why this unfulfillment, this storm within. That's why so many people find life so hopeless when they have everything that the world says you need to make you happy. When Robin Williams, beloved by so many, such a great comedian, brought smiles to so many faces down through the years. When he took his own life, many people scratched their head, confused. What in the world? A man this talented, a man with this many things that he's acquired. What is it? What storm within that others didn't see? Some knew that he was struggling. Anyone that knows anyone behind the camera, behind the scenes, behind the stage, anyone that knows someone personally, not just as an audience viewing them, knows that they have struggles and they have things that are gnawing on them and eating on them. And we see the suicide rate in America continuing to climb year after year after year. A nation with more material wealth than any nation in the world, and more books on how to be happy and how to be fulfilled. David said it begins with getting right with God and reconciled to God. And until that happens, he said, with all the material things and that a king can acquire and all of the fame that a king can have, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Verse 3. When I kept silence, when I didn't repent, when I didn't cry out to God for forgiveness. He said in verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy. That's conviction, friend. Thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer. Selah. And look at verse 5, how it all begins to change. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this, verse 6 says, shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time which thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near thee, literally turn and bite you. Verse 10 says, for many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy. This is all about forgiveness, all about reconciliation, and the peace that it brings to the human heart and the human soul and the human emotions and the human mind. For verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Shout for joy, you that are upright in heart. This was David's theology of forgiveness. And David begins by laying out his theological understanding. David knows the secret of happiness, friend, is in a right relationship with our Creator. We see this in verses 1 and 2. Happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Happy is the man whom the Lord does not count against him. Hallelujah. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is what? Covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. So I'm going to say it again this week. Forgiveness of sins is the secret of true happiness. It opens the door for true fulfillment. because it restores us to a right relationship with God. And the incredible truth that David has understood is that forgiveness of sins is available. Forgiveness of sins is available. Perhaps we take it for granted, but it's really not at all obvious that that should be the case. The poet Heinrich Heine said on his deathbed, "God will forgive me, it's His job." But that's outrageous presumption. As sinners, we are out of relationship with the Holy God. We have no right to expect forgiveness. Nonetheless, King David tells us forgiveness, even in the Old Covenant, was available. And in verses 1 and 2, David describes for us the sheer comprehensiveness of the forgiveness for sins that is available to those who will repent and confess their sins. In verse 1, he says, "His transgression is forgiven." A transgression is the breaking of God's law, an act of rebellion against God. Justice demands that it is punished. And the Old Testament law prescribes sacrifices to atone for transgressions. David has understood that God can and desires to forgive. Although he doesn't yet know that God would one day give His own Son as a sacrifice for our sin. Again in verse 1, his sin is covered. A sin is an offense against God. It's something offensive to Him. Sin is the foul garbage of our lives. It needs to be buried and covered, dumped outside the city walls. David understands that God can cover sin, although he doesn't yet know that one day God would give His sinless Son to become sin for us outside the same city walls, crucified outside the gates. He buries the garbage of our sins with Jesus in His tomb. Praise God. Nails them to the cross with Him. Praise the Lord. And then sin is not just covered in the new covenant. Sin is canceled. There's something called the atonement that reconciles us to God, and something, a forensic term, a redemptive term for what Christ has done on the cross, called justification. Hallelujah. And God treats us as if we had no past. From the cross forward, praise God, as if we had never sinned. Hallelujah. Brings us into His royal family and calls us His very sons and His very daughters. And in verse 2 we read of sin that the Lord does not count against Him. The Hebrew here is actually a different word for sin. It's called iniquity. And it means moral perversity or twistedness. It's not just the act of sin, but it's the attitude and atmosphere of our heart that causes us to act that sin out. It is our built-in desire to do wrong rather than right. David understands that God can cancel the moral debt that it incurs. But like financial debts, moral debts can never really be canceled. Someone, somewhere, has to pay. David doesn't know it yet, but one day on the cross, where Jesus Christ gave His life, God will reconcile the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. God Himself will pay the debt with His only begotten Son. That is the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. God in His holiness is obligated to judge sin, but God in His love and mercy offers forgiveness if we are honest and we truly repent. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7 says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But He will nowise clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation.'" The Bible is very clear God will judge the wicked, but He desires to forgive them. He's obligated to punish the wrongdoer, but He offers mercy and forgiveness if we truly repent. So King David has a healthy theology of forgiveness, although he doesn't enjoy the advantage of being on this side of the cross like we do. He understood thoroughly the God who revealed Himself to Moses as the Lord God, a merciful and gracious God, forgiving iniquity and all the transgression and sin. Every one of us as Christians can truly claim the right to be possessors of true happiness, because Christianity is the only religion in the world that takes sin seriously and offers a satisfactory remedy for it. I want to say that again. Christianity is the only religion in the world that takes sin this seriously and offers at the same time a satisfactory remedy for it. Only in Jesus Christ can our relationship with God be restored. So why then are so many Christians miserable a lot of the time? Perhaps you've noticed the one problem in these verses for which there's no remedy is given. Look at the end of verse 2. Happy is the man in whose spirit there is no guile, literally no deceit. This is the key. No remedy is given for this, because this remedy is up to you and it's up to me to be totally honest with God. You know, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do you see? The only thing that can interfere with my forgiveness and therefore my happiness is my deceit. And my deceit is in the insistence that I don't need forgiveness. If I claim to be without sin, I'm deceiving myself, but I'm not deceiving God. The only remedy for this deceit, the only path to true happiness, therefore, is what John says in the next verse, 1 John 1 and 9, but if we confess our sin, hallelujah, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. The secret of happiness is that true forgiveness is available. But we so often fall short of happiness because we deceive ourselves into imagining that we just don't need that forgiveness. Listen, friend, if there is sin in your life, whether you're a Christian or not, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian and have your sins forgiven. And if you are a Christian, you will find times in your life that you need to come before God. There's tension between us and God instead of peace and joy. That relationship becomes strained if we sin and we do not confess it and repent of it. Oh, but friend, there's such joy in getting honest with ourselves, coming honest before the Lord and confessing, Lord, you know, in attitude or in action, in commission or omission, I have sinned against you. I am sorry. I ask your forgiveness, and I repent of that sin. I head in the other direction. I will not continue in a lifestyle of rebellion. I will not continue to repeat over and over again this that I know offends you. Lord, I want to be right with you. I want this peace, nothing to be between us, praise God. I want this peace and this joy in my life to be full, and I want it to confirm, hallelujah, to a lost and dying world that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, that thou mayest be revered, that thou mayest be honored, hallelujah. Praise God. Ah, friend, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Repentance. How did it get such a negative connotation? How did it get such a bad spin put upon it? How did the devil try to re-regard and get us to regard repentance as something negative, conviction as something bad? I'm saying conviction is not comfortable. But God convicts us because He wants to be reconciled to us. He wants to grant us this peace. He wants to hear our prayers and answer them. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, those that are right with Him. His ears are open to their cry. And we've declared clearly today, it's not because we can live a sinlessly perfect life, but it's because we confess our sins and receive forgiveness. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't just sin that we might be forgiven, but we know if we stumble and if we fall, there is a God who says, I'll pick you up, I will pardon your sin, and I will restore to you that relationship that sin has broken. That fellowship can be restored this very day. Glory be to God. What a mighty God we serve today. Praise God. Listen, David experienced forgiveness. It became the most wonderful day of his life. Greater than when he slayed Goliath. Hallelujah. Greater than when they sang the praises of God and of David when Israel escaped the slavery and servitude to this alien army. Greater than he was crowned king of Israel. Greater than any of these things was the day that David sought and found forgiveness from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So David confirms all this by sharing his own experience with us. He tells us of it. Of all of this great grace and great love and great fulfillment that comes when our sins are forgiven and when our transgression is covered. I'm going to tell you today, if God is speaking to you, if you're feeling that uncomfortable feeling that you are away from God and you need to get right with God, I don't have to tell you. He's telling you. Your heart is telling you. The Holy Spirit is telling you. Don't run from Him today anymore. Don't run from Him, and don't keep looking through sin to the world for the happiness of fulfillment that only getting right with God can give you. Come to Jesus and you won't need that needle in your arm. Come to Jesus and you won't need that bottle to pull from. Come to Christ and you won't need to go through relationship with relationship with relationship looking for what you should have and could have in your wife or your husband. Praise God. Come to Jesus today and find that your eternity is settled. You know that heaven will be your home and you will never have to worry about the judgment to come. And not only that, but in this life, you will find true fulfillment and you will find true happiness. Praise God. Come to Jesus today. And if you're a Christian today and you know that there are things in your life that you need to get settled between you and God, get it settled. When you hold your peace, your bones wax old. The waters rage and roar. The storm brews in your heart. Come to Jesus today and let Jesus forgive you. And let His peace replace that pressure. And let the joy of the Lord, the joy of sins forgiven, and a reconciled relationship with God. That's what the joy of the Lord is. Let it become your strength to stand strong, stand tall for Jesus, and to tell others what God can do for them. Well, our time is gone today. Will you come back next week? And let's talk about Jesus.